Amen. Would you pray with me real quick? Father God, we come to you this morning. We thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just the Holy Spirit, Lord, that allows us to understand your truth and understand what it is that you've called us to, Lord. So, Father, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would guide me. God, that you would allow this passage of Scripture to be fresh for us this morning. God, that we would be able to walk away from this gathering together with your people, energized and encouraged and ready to do what it is that you've called us to do in all circumstances and all situations and all seasons, Lord. So, Father, use this time for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you open to Philippians chapter 1? Philippians chapter 1 is where we will be this morning. I've grown to love the book of Philippians. I think that my love for this book tends to come from just the relationship between the church and Paul. It was a healthy relationship. You could tell that they mutually loved one another. And then this morning, as we continue through our series titled New Beginnings, I want us to come to a place where we look at our perspective. Because I know that as a believer that it's easy to get into a place where your perspective is maybe fogged. Maybe your perspective is a little different because your circumstances aren't that great, or the season of life that you're walking through is a little bit more difficult during that time. And therefore, our perspective towards those things, the way that we look at our circumstances and our situations, oftentimes are defined by the season of life that we're going through, the circumstances that we're walking through. I'm reminded of a story that I read recently in a book titled Gaining is Losing. And in the book, it shared a story, and I've never heard it. At first, to be honest with you, as I read through it, I was like, there's no way this is real. Somebody made this up. But young millennial will do in this day and age is you get on Google. And you Google it to make sure that it is true, but not everything on Google is true. So after working through many different articles and videos of interviews of a guy named Larry Walters, some of you may know him, not personally, I don't think, but some of you may be familiar with him. He's a gentleman who lived in California, and he decided one day that he wanted to see his neighborhood from a different perspective. So what he did is he went out to his nearest Army Navy surplus store and bought 75 weather balloons. And so he went home, and like any redneck, he did a really good job at kind of assembling something in the back of his pickup truck for him to be able to take off and fly in the air with these weather balloons to be able to see his neighborhood from a different perspective. And so he got a lawn chair, right? Some of y'all are like, amen. And he got a lawn chair, he puts it in the back of his truck, and he ties the rope to his truck, and he starts blowing up these weather balloons with helium, and he's attaching all 75 to this chair. And he finally gets in his chair, and he sits there, and in one of the videos you could see that like his girlfriend was attempting to just talk him out of doing it. He's like, this isn't safe. Like, you don't need to do this. You shouldn't do this. And so he gets in the chair. He's sitting in the chair, and his friend cuts the rope, and he's gone. Like, the book that described it as him just being shot out of a cannon, because those 75 balloons, boom, they took him up fast. And so he's rolling in there, and the only thing that he took with him, I thought this was funny as well, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a six-pack of beer, and a BB gun. That's all he took with him on the trip. And so his friend described that he was getting nervous as soon as he lifted off. So what did he do? He popped open a can of beer and began to do what he always did. And so he's flying up in the air, and he got to a place of 16,000 feet in the air. Yeah. That a Delta plane pilot spotted him over Los Angeles. He lived out of the city. Spotted him over Los Angeles in controlled airspace and said, hey, we have a guy that's in a lawn chair with balloons with what looks like to be a rifle in his hand. Well, see, his plan was when he got to a certain point that his perspective was where he wanted it to be, he was going to take the BB gun and start to shoot the balloon so that he would begin to descend. Well, I guess he enjoyed the ride. I don't know. But eventually, After the pilot spotted him, he had a radio, and they contacted the air traffic control at that point, and he began to shoot out a couple of the balloons and slowly come down, and ended up, the guy's crazy, he ended up landing on electric lines, but he did survive. There was no issues. They were able to get him down safely, and when he got off and to the ground, and obviously, you know, the news crews loves to cover those crazy stories of crazy people. They said, "Larry, man, why did you do it?" And his response was, "I was bored, and I wanted a different perspective of my neighborhood." And we look at that this story, and I read the story this week, not planning to use anything from that book in this sermon, but the Lord just brought it to a place that said, this fits where we're going this morning. That there's sometimes that we just need a new perspective of our situation. There's sometimes that we have to step back and just say, I want to look at this differently. Scholars in theology would call it a Christian worldview, looking through the lens of Scripture at your season and your situation. I believe it's just looking at it the way that Jesus would look at it. How would he handle what you're walking through? How would he handle what you are going through? And so this morning, if you'll look with me in Philippians, we'll look at what Paul is writing to the church of Philippi in verses 12 through 18. It reads this: "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill, and the latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." Let's move back to verse 12. But before we jump there, I want us to understand the relationship that Paul and the church of Philippi had. Paul truly loved this church. He had planted this church. He was an encouragement to this church, and they valued him. So it was a mutual relationship. Those relationships are always great, right? When you feel loved by the first person that you love. And this is what Paul had here with this church, is that he had a mutual relationship that was healthy and that was good, and that they would encourage one another, and so much to the point that the church had sent Paul a man that to help him as he was walking through this season of his life, to help him in his ministry and help him as he was walking through this situation. But the first words that Paul writes to the church in verse 12, he says, "I want you to know. I want you to know. I want you to understand something. I want you to grasp something. I want you to have a new perspective on something." Because, see, we need to understand that the church of Philippi was looking at Paul's situation. He's looking at his circumstances. They're looking at this season of life that he's walking through, and they're saying, there's no way that the gospel will continue to be furthered through Paul because of his situation, because of his circumstances. They were looking at the place that Paul was in prison and locked up in chains for the sake of Christ. And their mindset was, man, this is going to hinder the growth of the church. This is going to hinder the gospel being moved forward. And Paul's like, hold on for a second, right? Stop for a minute and listen to me. Some of you are like, I've said that to my kids multiple times. In 2 weeks, I've already said that to my son multiple times. I'm like, listen to me. Wah! That's all he does. I'm like, dude. He's saying, I want you to know. I want you to know something. He's writing this to the church. He says, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. He's saying, understand this new perspective. Understand this new mindset, that I don't look at my situation and my circumstances and say, oh, poor me. No, I've looked at my situation and my circumstances and say, this is just another opportunity for me to tell somebody about Jesus. This is just another situation and season that I'm walking to proclaim the gospel, to communicate the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done. Paul's circumstances and season that he was walking to, in fact, served to advance the gospel. It didn't hinder the gospel. It didn't slow down the growth of the church. It didn't slow down his ministry. It was a tool that God was using. It was a place and opportunity that God was using to use Paul in a new situation and under new circumstances. The reality of this morning, as you walk into this room, most of us are in different circumstances, right? We're in different seasons. We're walking through different things, some common, some different. But you walk in walking through good times, bad times, hard stuff, good stuff, correct? Y'all with me this morning? You can shake your head, that's all right. And we walk through these seasons, and we walk through these circumstances and these situations, and what Paul is teaching this church, and what I believe that God is trying to teach us through this situation, is that the fact of the matter is there are many of us walking through different circumstances, some good, some bad, some easy, but Paul is giving us a different perspective to our circumstances. He's giving us a different perspective to our circumstances. I remember my mom always making the comment like, somebody's always got it worse than we do. Somebody's always in a worse situation than we were, when finances were tight, when, you know, there wasn't money there to get food all the time, when there was a struggle for this or a struggle for that. There was those seasons where mom's like, there's always somebody that's got it worse than we do right now. I don't even know if that's really what Paul's saying. I think that he's just communicating that whatever your circumstances are, good health, bad health, good family, bad family, rough season, good season, that your circumstances don't define your perspective. As a believer, Jesus has defined our perspective. Jesus has defined Paul's perspective on the Damascus Road. It changed the way that he looked at stuff, literally, right? It changed the way that he looked at stuff from then on out, because he became a servant for the Lord, and God said, he is an instrument that I'm going to do great things with. And I believe that Paul is being that instrument that God was doing great things with, and it wasn't just when things were good or things were going well. It was in all circumstances and situations that we exist to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Paul gives this church a reality check that says our circumstances don't define our perspective. Paul never let his imprisonment, this is what I love about this dude. If I could meet somebody besides Jesus in the Bible, it would be Paul, okay? Because he didn't allow his circumstances, he didn't want them to throw a pity party for him. Are y'all with me? He didn't want somebody to gather and be like, oh, poor Paul, we need to send him this, or we need to send him that, or we need to give him this. He didn't want that. He says, no, I want you to know something, that my circumstances, don't fret over where I am and what I'm doing. Don't fret over that. You continue to make much of Jesus, and I will continue to make much of Jesus, and let that be our encouragement, that Christ is still being made known in whatever season and whatever circumstances that we are walking through. I'm reminded of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If we were to be transparent in this room, there's difficulties. There's difficulties in marriages. There's difficulties in health. And can I tell you something? There's nothing wrong with saying, God, why me? Okay, because I'm not going to chalk Paul up as perfect. All right, we're not going to do that. That was Jesus. So I believe that there were seasons of Paul's life where he said, why? You know, I don't think that he didn't say, God, why am I having to walk through this? But on the end of it, in every situation, Paul's saying, I'm going to make much of Jesus. I'm going to use what has been dealt me. I'm going to use the will of God for my life as a platform to make him known, because I'm just going to give thanks in all circumstances. Because if I'm in the will of God, that's where I want to be. I'll never forget this statement that Keith Gray, a guy who filled in for my student pastor while he was going through heart transplant stuff, he said, I'm surrendering to ministry because I've been fighting it forever, because I realize that I will be miserable if I'm not in God's will. And I think that that's where Paul was. He's saying, if this is God's will for my life, God said, hey, he's going to suffer for me. He's going to suffer. This is part of Paul's suffering. I think that he embraced it. He embraced it and said, this is it. We as Christians, we as believers in the culture that we live in, we suffer in many different ways. Not as bad as other people in other countries, but there's a sense of suffering to say, hey, you know what? It is what it is. I'm going to make much of Jesus. We go on in verse 13 and we see Paul say, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Paul's prison time was, many believe, was in Rome. And while he was there, he took the opportunity not just to encourage people by writing letters to them, but to encourage those and share the gospel with those who were present in his place, where he was, where he was locked up at. He took this opportunity, and he's saying here in verse 13, he said, listen, the whole imperial guard, all the people who are chained to me for these hours at a time, guess what? They've heard about Jesus. They know why I'm here. They've heard me explain to them the reason that I'm here, the situation of why I'm in these chains, and I'm going to take advantage of this situation. I'm going to take advantage of this moment to tell them about Christ. Paul is again saying, your circumstances don't define your perspective. Because there's a lot of people that would probably be cussing at the guard, be spitting at the guard, be mad at the guard, be angry at the guard. But Paul said, you know what? This is just an opportunity. This is just another circumstance that God has given me to say, make much of me. We were at Passion with the college kids, and this speaker, Levi Lesko, he made this comment about referring to Philippians 1 and really just Paul in general, his time in prison. He said this, and I think this is good. If you need to write it down, you can, because it challenged me. He said, Paul didn't look at his circumstances and say, I have to be chained to these people. Right? Don't we do that sometimes? I have to go work with these people. I have to be in a family with these people. Y'all don't lie. I know some of you. I have to do this, or I have to go to this and be and engage with these people, or I have to be here, and the Lord knows I don't really care for this person, but I have to go and be around them. Paul didn't look at his circumstances and say, man, I have to be chained to these people. No, he looked at his circumstances and says, I get to be chained to these people. That's a big difference. Not that I have to be chained to these people. I get to be chained to these people. And because I get to be chained to the people, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to share the gospel with them. I'm going to tell them the difference in me and why I can walk through these circumstances, why I can walk through these seasons of life and still have joy and still be able to rejoice and still be able to worship God. And because when I step back, right? When we get in our lawn chair and go up above the neighborhood, there's a whole different perspective. When we step back and look through God's word in our circumstances, there's a whole different perspective that says, this season of my life, the next season of my life, every season of my life is just another opportunity for me to make much of Jesus, for me to tell someone about Jesus. I believe, can I be honest with y'all? I believe that the church, and I'm not just talking about ours, I'm talking about just the church. We emphasize evangelism a lot of times. But you know who we often direct it towards? The ones that aren't retired. Because our mindset is, well, they go to work with people. They go to school with people. I kind of have my circle. But I will never forget this moment. I'll never forget this moment. My student pastor, David, many of you have met him. So you kind of got a face with a name. When he was walking through his heart transplant, I was there. That was when the Lord was really getting a hold of me, calling me to ministry. I was getting opportunities to preach for him, and I'm like, bro, are you sure you want me to do this? And there'd be often times where I would just literally handwrite transcripts. My mom was so mad at me. She bought me this like $50 study Bible. And I was so nervous to preach, I literally took masking tape and note cards, and I wrote, and I just taped them in there so they wouldn't fall out. And when I tried to pull them out, I was like, rip the pages. And she's like, Justin, you know how much this thing costs? I'm like, hey, I preach the word, all right? Trying to get out of this situation. But I would literally bring these handwritten things to David, and he's laying in the hospital with a mask, and I would have to put on a mask and this outfit to be able to go in there with him, and we're sitting down, and he kind of helping me theologically with my sermons in the context and where we would go with them. And I just remember sitting there time and time and time again, and he was strapped to this bed. But as Paul was chained to this prisoner, he didn't look at it as, oh man, poor me. He looked at it, and I promise you this, every nurse that ever waited on him, every doctor that ever operated on him, every food attendant that just brought in his lunch, dinner, or breakfast knew about Jesus. You know why? Because he didn't look at his circumstances and say, poor me. And so my response to you in this room this morning, retired, working, wherever you are in a season of your life that God is saying, you have not checked out of making much of my name. You have not checked out from being an evangelist that says you need to be an ambassador for the Lord and tell people about the gospel. There's something that baffles me, is that if we say it changed us, but yet we have no desire to tell people about how it's changed us and what it's done in our lives. Paul's perspective was defined in Christ Jesus. It was his desire to live like Christ, to be like Christ, and to imitate Christ. That determined his perspective towards everything he did and every circumstance he found himself in. That's encouraging to me. That's challenging to me. I know that I'm a lot younger than some of you in this room. But I realize that I walk through stuff that is difficult sometimes. I'll bring y'all into the hospital room. 2 weeks ago, I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lord, my world is about to change. It's about to be completely different. And I shared this with Pastor because he shared a story on Sunday morning a couple months ago about wanting to share the gospel with the guy and just really missing the opportunity. And he was honest about it. And I was thinking of that story, and I was reading a book while we were just sitting there waiting, and I said, you know, we've been here for like 7 hours already. I have not once talked to this nurse about anything spiritual. She's about to be in here when my wife's about to go through one of the hardest things she's ever walked through, and I haven't talked to them about anything about Jesus. And that lady walked in, and I said, I better get off my butt and do something. Some people, the circumstances could have said, no, that's a moment that you just need to enjoy, right? That's just a moment you need to enjoy. But God's saying, no, every moment is a moment that you need to enjoy because you get the opportunity to tell somebody about me. You get the opportunity to make my son known. Verse 14, this is where he really begins to challenge us. And he said, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul says, guess what? My imprisonment, not only did it not hinder my ministry, not only did it not hinder my ability and my opportunities that God has given me to share the gospel, it's encouraged other people to be bold. It's been an encouragement to those who are around me. It's been encouragement to the guards who have gotten saved. It's been an encouragement to the believers who are here to step out of their comfort zones and continue to preach the gospel, to be able to continue to proclaim the gospel. Two books that I've read in the last 2 weeks, I know that that's a shock because I'm not a reader. A book called Tell Someone said this, 95% of Christians don't share the gospel. Gaining by losing, 90% of Christians have never shared the faith outside of their family. Quiet room. That's the state of the church, y'all. We're not absent from it. Can we be real for a second? We're not absent from these statistics. This one's scarier. So hold to your lawn chair like Larry was. Lifeway research study: in the next 7 years, 55,000 churches in the United States will close their doors. And the number of those who attend church on the weekend in the United States has dropped from 70% to 40%. Only 20% of the churches in the U.S. are growing. This is what's scarier to me. Only 1% are growing by reaching the lost people. So 95% of church growth that we celebrate is just really stealing people from other churches. Christians shuffling around because they don't like something here, they don't like that something there, they don't want this or they don't want this. 1% is what we are seeing across the board of growth by reaching lost people. That scares me. That tells me that we have an issue within the church. And I think that the issue is laziness. I think the issue is content. I think the issue is cultural Christians who just tag it on themselves because their family is one. We could go on and on and on and on and on. But what Paul is saying here is he's saying, listen, my circumstances haven't defined my perspective. And guess what it's done? It's encouraged people to share the gospel. It's encouraged people to tell people about me. Anybody ever been on visitation? A few. Okay. I figured less will be in the next service. I'm probably going to have to define visitation in the next service. I remember going on visitation. My student pastor, we really fostered that at the church that we were in, and he would really take a couple of students, and looking back on it, I hated it, okay? Like, I did not like it. It was the most awkward thing in the world. But I learned a lot from it. Like, stepping back, I'm like, man, I actually gained a lot of good resources and being able to watch people. And our youth pastor would take one teenager with him every week, okay? But there was more than one teenager there, but everybody was fighting, like, I'm going with David. But what he would do is he would make us go with other adults in the church to build a relationship with them, for us to bridge that gap, but also for us to just hear somebody else tell somebody about Jesus. And I will never forget walking up to this door. I had been time and time and time again. I'd been coming. My parents were going. Not going to lie to you, I started going because they served a free meal, and I just ended up going on visitation for the ride. But after that got passed and I grew in my walk with Christ, I was like, all right, I'm going to be here for the right reasons and the free meal. And so I remember going up to this house, and if you've ever been on visitation, the thing that makes you most nervous is like having to walk into the house. David walked into one house, they had like a pet pig running around. I was like, I'm glad I wasn't with you that night. But I remember walking up to the door, and David, and I'm like, all right, we're about to do this. And David said, you're leading, good luck. What? The dude comes to the door, I'm like, my this is David. You know, like, I didn't know what to say. I was so nervous. I was in that moment. I was so hesitant in that moment. But I knew what had changed me, and that's all I had to share. And I remember this walking through this time of visitation where I learned so much. Maybe not in that moment. It probably didn't show. But I had learned so much, and I was encouraged so much by seeing other believers share the gospel, unashamed of the gospel, bold in the gospel. And I think that is what Paul's communicating here, is he's saying, listen, as I walk through this, this has not only been effective for me, not only have I been able to share the gospel, but other people have been encouraged to share the gospel because of my circumstances. Do you hear that? Other people have been encouraged to share the gospel because of my circumstances. Do not think for a second that people are not watching you and looking at you and seeing how you respond in all seasons of your life. Your family, your coworkers, your friends, whoever it is around you, they are watching you to see how you will respond. And it's in those moments that I believe that you're an encouragement. I shared a story this morning, David in the hospital. That you are a walking, living testimony of who Christ is and what he wants to do in your life. And all we have to do is to put that in words and tell someone about it. It's time for us to stop saying, I'm scared, I'm nervous. it's time for you to either say, I'm a follower of Christ or I'm not. And that's from everybody in the room. That's 100 to 7, 8, 9, 6, 5, whatever you are. That's everybody in here. That we have lost, it is obvious that we have lost a passion for sharing the gospel. The book that I was reading, and I hate to keep referring to that, but it's a good one if you want to pick it up. It said, how do we call ourselves evangelicals anymore? If the state of the church is really only 1% of people. I mean, I feel the pressure sometimes to have that number in the bulletin look good for y'all. I feel that pressure sometimes. When my ultimate goal every week is just to be winning people to Christ. As a pastor, I feel the pressure sometimes that our responsibility is to grow the church. Look to your left, right, in front of you, behind you. It's our responsibility to grow the church. It's our responsibility. Because it's been each of us that have been saved by grace through faith. It's each of us that has a testimony to say, this is what Christ has done in my life. And whether you got grandchildren, your kids, your family, your coworkers, those people are watching you, and you can be an encouragement to them to say, I'm still going to make much of Jesus' name. I'm still going to worship, and I'm still going to rejoice. Let's finish this morning. And looking at 15 through 18, it says this. Some indeed preach Christ for envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Paul's kind of closing this little section of scripture up, and I really like what he says, because I think that he's describing two groups of people. A group of people who are doing it for themselves, that they're using this platform to advance themselves, to build themselves up, and you have another group of people who are doing it for the right reasons. But Paul's issue is, he's saying, listen, this inflicts pain on me, but the pain isn't that they're taking the spotlight off me. Do we get that? It isn't that I'm the only one that can share the gospel. No, that isn't the pain. The pain is that they're doing it for the wrong reasons. But at the end, we see in verse 18 what he says and how he closes this. He says, you know what? In every way, whether in pretense or in truth, whether they do it for the wrong reasons or they do it for right, Christ is being proclaimed. Christ is being proclaimed. And in that I rejoice. Do we see what matters most to Paul? Y'all there? Do we see what mattered most to Paul? The gospel. That people were being won to Christ. That he was being proclaimed. That he was being shared. This morning, we live in a state of the church that is scary. And it isn't just with young people. It's from top to bottom. Because only 1% is a very small majority. We have to get back to a place to where we say, no matter what season of life that I'm walking to, I will share the gospel, because that's what's changed me. It's given me a new perspective. I'm a new creation. The old is past. Amen? That perspective is fresh, and because of that, I don't have to get in a chair and fly above the neighborhood. I just have to open God's word, and I have to look at my community differently. We look at people differently because, why? Because Christ calls us to that. We have a different perspective than other people. As we walk through sicknesses and time in the hospital and these different seasons, we look at those situations differently. Why? Because God has given us a new perspective on that. To say, hey, this is just another opportunity. I put you here. I placed you in this bed, in this room, in Leesburg, Villages, Ocala. I put you there for a reason. You know why? Use it as a platform to tell somebody about me. I've put you volunteering here. I've put you in this group of friends. Or I've put you in this place. Use it as an opportunity to tell someone about me. Your circumstances do not define your perspective. Jesus has. And let's live as if Jesus has defined our perspective. And the way that we look at things Don't miss this in people. The way we look at people. I want to close with this morning. I'm going to ask, I know this is a little different for you guys. I'm just going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm just going to ask this morning in this room. If you're in here and you're saying, hey, I'm walking through a season right now that's hard. Would you just stand up for me? I want to pray for you. I'm not trying to make things weird. I just want to pray for you. You stand up. Raise your hands, fine. If that's not, hey, I'm walking through something difficult. I'm walking through something hard. And in my circumstances, I'm having a difficult time. I'm having a difficult time making much of Jesus. Keep them raised for me. I want to see him across the room. Thank you for your transparency. That's part of the reason I love working with people. It's because we all have stories and we're always walking through stuff. Father God, I come to you this morning. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for just what you're doing in our church, Lord. God, I pray for a spiritual awakening. I pray that it happens in this church through these people, Lord. I pray for those who have their hands raised, who are standing this morning. Father, would you allow them to see their circumstances from a different perspective? God, that you would allow them to use their circumstances to communicate the gospel, because we believe in the gospel. We've seen the change. We've seen the transformation in our own lives. And because of that, Lord, we believe in that and we trust it and we will proclaim it. So, Father, as we walk through different seasons, as we walk through different circumstances, we surrender that platform for your glory. We surrender that moment. We surrender that situation. We surrender that circumstance to make much of your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, maybe this morning you're here and you're like, dude, I ain't never been to church before. This is new to me. I want to know what it means to follow Christ. That, the gospel, what is that? Can you explain that more? Would you just come forward? We would love to sit down and explain that to you. We'd love to connect you with somebody who can walk you through what the gospel is. Maybe this morning you're here and you're like, I want to join this church. I want to be a part of a community of people who are eager and excited about telling somebody about Jesus, because I hope that's what we are.